You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kasprich, joined by Rhett Bollinger. And Rhett, the good news with the Twins, the rotation has really turned things around. Go back and look at the first seven games of the season, had a 6.87 ERA. In their last 11 games, it's a 3.15 ERA. What's been the big key to that turnaround in your mind?
Well, I think more than anything, it's just getting good starts from guys that you weren't really sure how they're going to do. Guys like Mike Pelfrey, so far, has definitely turned it around, had a great start against Kansas City, throwing seven scoreless. Malone's been pretty good throughout all his starts. Trevor May has pitched pretty well, obviously, hitting the arm there in Seattle. Apparently he's okay. I guess we'll get an update early this week and kind of find out how hurt he really is. But that's kind of thing. Those guys, and even Hughes, the game they lost in Seattle with Felix pitching, Hughes threw a complete game, eight innings, with nine strikeouts. They just lost 2-0. So I think more than anything, we're starting to see some consistency from this rotation. Like I said, some of these guys, May, Gibson, you know, and Topper, some of these guys aren't really sure how they're going to fare, have definitely started to fare a lot better now, second time, third time starting.
And it sounds like Ricky Nolasco's on track. He made his rehab outing on Sunday. What are the reports on that?
He did fine. Yeah, he did fine. I think he gave one unearned run over there at Cedar Rapids. I think we'll find out today if he needs another one. I think he only threw about five innings or so. So I'm thinking he'll probably need one more before he's ready to go. But definitely a good sign. And like I said, I think early on that injury was more about precaution than anything else. The fact that there was just inflammation, kind of wanted to back him off a little bit. Definitely good news. There was no major injury there at all in the elbow. So a good sign. He got through that first rehab start with no issues. We'll kind of see where they take him from there.
I wanted to ask you, Rhett. We talked a little about this in the offseason. Joe Mauer batting leadoff. I know it's something Paul Molitor has at least considered. I don't know how seriously he's considered it, but, you know, you look at the struggles at the top of the order in general, and you look at Mauer's skill set at this point in his career and getting on base frequently, not a lot of extra base hits. So is there some grease on that fire? Is that something that could happen?
I think it's something that makes sense. You know, you're right. I think because Joe does get on base so much, and really is actually a pretty good base runner. I think he made a mistake there in Kansas City running the bases, but that was pretty rare. He's one of he's not like the fastest guy in the world, but he's definitely a very smart base runner. But at the same time, just from talking to Mauer, especially during spring training, he seemed like he was definitely more leaning toward guys that are speedy at the top of the lineup. So that's why he liked Santana so much. That's why now that Santana got moved down to ninth on Sunday that he had Dozier leading off. Because although Dozier does have some power, obviously, he also has speed and stole, you know, more than 20 bases last year. So they've been kind of going with Dozier at the top of the lineup now with Santana struggling. But I do think it would make a little more sense if they went Mauer 1 and maybe Dozier 2 instead of the other way around. And now they're kind of having Mauer back third. And kind of the second spot in order now, too, is kind of being mixed up here and there. I think they had Shane Robinson back there. Yeah. Torrey Hunter's batted there a little bit ever since he started off the season as a cleanup hitter. So it's been kind of interesting seeing the way they've kind of worked the lineup because so far the offense really hasn't gotten going yet.
It hasn't. And as you mentioned, Danny Santana, his struggles have been a big part of that. You mentioned him going down the nine hole. The day before that, Eduardo Escobar was in there in place with him and hit a home run. Is that an issue that Escobar could force? Could we see more of Escobar at short?
We could. I think the Twins would still like to see Santana kind of bounce back. I think more than anything, I think people knew that Santana wasn't going to probably be as good as he was last year based on a few factors, including even his minor league track record. But I think the Twins still have confidence to be better than he's been so far for sure. But I do think you're right. I think that if he continues to struggle and really can't turn it around, I think this was kind of the first step was moving him off the leadoff spot to ninth. That's kind of the thing they're waiting a while to do. They didn't really want to do, but he kind of forced their hand because of the way he was playing. They kind of had to move him back in the lineup. I think if he continues to hit the way that he has, batting ninth, I do think we could see more Escobar. And potentially, I think the Twins are definitely hesitant and don't want to do it. But if he really continues to really, really struggle the way that he has, I mean, you could see them maybe even setting him down to AAA to kind of get back on track there. And just have Escobar become the starting shortstop with Nunez as the backup. I think the Twins don't want to do that yet, but at the same time, it's going to kind of pick it up here pretty soon.
Yeah, I think there was a general expectation with Santana had such a high batting average on balls in play, for instance, last season. You expected regression, but I'd say this has probably been more regression than the Twins bargained for.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, that's, like you said, the batting average on balls in play, I think, was above 400 last year. Which led the league. I think looking at the stats, like guys like Mike Trout and Andrew McCutchen had batting averages and balls in play around 350. So you can still, even though the league average is around 300, if you hit the ball hard and hit a lot of line drives and you can run, you can have a higher one, but a 400 one, that's pretty much unheard of and really isn't something you can really repeat. So I think people thought maybe he'd come back down to earth a little bit, but you're right. I don't think anyone saw it coming this bad this early.
Red, you hear much about Byron Buxton? I know he got off to a little bit of a slower start in the minors. What's the word on him?
Well, he did hit a 300 home run the other night, which is a good sign from him. But you're all right. He's gone off to a little bit of a slow start. Same with Miguel Sano at Double-A. A little expected. I mean, obviously, you want the top prospect in baseball to come off to a hot start and all that. But considering that he missed, you know, pretty much all of last year outside of 30 games or so from all the injuries that he had, you kind of expected some rust. Same with Sano missing all of last year with Tommy John. You kind of expect some of that rust there. So I think that no one's really worried yet, but I do think that obviously they want both Buxton and Sano to kind of pick it up here. Especially maybe once it gets a little warmer. I don't know how. And Cedar Rapids Chattanooga isn't that in a cold of an area compared to maybe if they would have been at New Britain. But they switched affiliations this year. But I do think that maybe once it gets a little warmer, maybe they just maybe pick it up a little bit. But I do think that so far both have struggled, and I think some would like to see do the rest.
Well, if they're going to play in Minnesota, they better get used to cold weather to start the season. But obviously a lot of eyes on those guys, a lot of hope that they can make a meaningful impact maybe by the end of this year. But for now, it's good to see the rotation turn things around, because that's obviously a big key for the Twins, just being a competitive ball club. But that's what's going on in the present. But we want to talk a little Twins past right now with Rhett. And I asked him, as all of you out there are being asked to vote on MLB.com for your franchise four. You pick out the four players who had the biggest impact on this club in its long history. And I think, Rhett, with the Twins, I think there's a couple obvious picks. And I think the last spot, to me, gets pretty complicated. It depends what you value and where. So I want to hear your franchise four.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of interesting with the Twins, especially having their history with the Washington Senators. I think, obviously,
right,
having Walter Johnson on that list. He's the best player on that list. I mean, Walter Johnson definitely has a case to be the, you know, the best pitcher in the history of the game. But I just think that, for me, I kind of lean more towards the Minnesota Twins history a little bit. So to me, I think that an obvious one, and number one, I think Harmon Killebrew, being a Hall of Famer, all the power he had, is an obvious one. To me, same thing with Kirby Puckett, a guy that is a Hall of Famer and is probably the most beloved player in franchise history, from all listed on the field with, you know, the two World Series and just his charisma and personality. I mean, obviously some of the stuff off the field maybe tainted that a little bit, but I think in Minnesota he's definitely still beloved. And I think those two are very obvious. I think same thing with Rod Carew. I mean, Rod Carew is one of the best, you know, pure hitters, I guess you could say, in the history of baseball. And I guess that last spot's a tough one too, because you have a Hall of Famer in Burt Blyleven, who's on that list, but I believe is someone that he also had, you know, success elsewhere though. He didn't have his whole career in Minnesota. He did win one World Series there, but obviously played with the Pirates and the Indians, among other teams. So for that reason, I might leave him off the Twins one, just because he didn't spend his whole career here, which makes it a little bit more difficult. For me, and obviously Joe Mauer, an active guy, we've talked plenty about Joe. I think maybe in a few years, if Joe can kind of bounce back to the levels of performance that he had early in his career, I think that would be a no-brainer. I think that he's more underrated and probably underappreciated in Minnesota, just because he's been a guy that gets on base so much and does things maybe are a little bit undervalued compared to a guy that hits a bunch of home runs or something like that, or gets a bunch of RBIs. But for me, I think that final spot would be Tony Oliva. Just the same thing. I think he's a guy that is beloved within the organization, has been a part of the organization for a really long time and still represents the organization, and is just was a great player and someone that you know, was hurt by knee injuries. And I think that the modern medicine nowadays would have prolonged his career, and he would have been an easy Hall of Famer. I think that he still has a really good case to be Hall of Famer, and we saw him just miss out by one vote in the Hall of Fame just this past December. So for me, I put Oliva in there just because he played his whole career with the Twins, although it was a little bit short by the knee injuries. So for me, I'd be the three kind of the obvious ones of those Hall of Famers, and then Oliva. It would be tough leaving out, obviously, Johnson, who's a Hall of Famer too, but played in Washington, and Blyleven and Mauer and all those. So definitely a good list. But for me, that's my four.
I think he did well with the Red, and I think that is tough, that last spot. You know, how much attention should we pay to the Washington Senators with this you know, their history kind of gets just washed out as a result of, you know, the way history went. But Walter Johnson certainly deserves discussion in a project like this, but obviously doesn't have the Minnesota ties. So I think he did well with it. I was actually surprised Kent Herbeck wasn't on the ballot. Not that he's going to crack that top four, but he was one of the names.
I was too. Especially spent his whole career there, and from here, I thought that he might have been on there too. But it's tough when you have to make only eight choices, and Franklin has had some pretty good players throughout the years.
Yeah. Well, as Red said, eight guys on the ballot. You all can narrow that down. You have until May 8th to get your votes in. You heard Rhett's and his rationale behind them. I think it was good choices by you, Rhett. Good work out of you. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next time. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.